This is July the 1st, 2021, in the Lucy Coleman studio in Los Angeles, California, on God's good, great planet Earth. Thank you for coming by my site. Years ago, I put together a massive study and I brought all the men of the, at that time, Anselm Bible Fellowship up into, I called it a city retreat because we didn't go up to Lake Arrowhead or Big Bear Lake up in the San Bernardino Mountains. We didn't go up there that year. I didn't want to repeat the same mistakes that I made in the earlier Olivet at the Vet. You've probably seen the picture of all the men that gathered up there with me. Well, I called it an in-the-city retreat. Place had pretty good food and everything, but during my preparation for the retreat, I came across this man's comments on masculinity. His name is Kendall Fricken. He commented in a text on masculinity. And I thought that it would be worth sharing with the men at Anselm. And here it is. And I believe I did that in the year 2005. This was right after or a little before I became a college professor. And I like to share from my notes from this PowerPoint discussion as I have this discussion with you. And I'm going to talk you through it because I think it's important for you to hear what I have to say. He comments on masculinity, and I thought that it would be just the perfect time to put this cast up. And I hope that it would spark a lively discussion amongst those of you that listen to me and appreciate what I have to say. And looking at the behavior that is manifest, what is your definition of a man? First of all, that's what Kendall starts off with. He asks in his text, what is your definition of a man? And if you ask that question to a group of men today, you'll hear many different answers depending upon the environment and the upbringing. If the man is brought up by a woman, his definition of a man would be quite different from a person that answers that was brought up by their fathers. Now, since the situation is in the African-American community, we cannot depend upon our fathers being that hallmark figure for us to attach ourselves to. Well, the environment is different. Some may say that he's a man when he's reached a certain age, 21, 18, whatever it may be. Some may say when he's moved out from under his mama's roof, he becomes a man. Some may say when he buys his own car or procures rent for his own stabilized living matter in an apartment or even a home. And some even believe that making a certain amount of money, then you've attained to manhood. And especially in a day and era when we have all the rappers and the singers and the entertainers from our community, well, anybody can call them, I'm a man. Well, none of the things that I mentioned just now, however, are characteristics of a man. Manhood is a process. It is a transition that a person moves through from his maleness into manhood. And I'm not going to make any outrageous statements about things that's recently been on the news, because a lot of these guys are men, but they just choose to behave in a way that may cause other people uncertainty about how they're defining it. So I'm not going to go there. Are you a male or a man? That's the question that I want to start off with. And that's what Kendall Fricklin did in his text. Kendall said, a man does not carry a grudge. Now, let me see. Do I? No, I don't. But a male is one that looks for ways to get even. See? I don't carry a grudge. And I never look for a way to get even, because if you're a real man, you can't get even with the man that is not on your level. A man looks to better himself. He invests everything that he says and does towards his success. Whereas a male complains that he has to stay where he is. Have you ever heard him? I don't want to live on this end of town. I want to live in Beverly Hills, Bel Air, Hollywood, the West Side, up in a condo that's paid for. That doesn't make you a man. You can be a male. A man is one that gives to his community. That's what I do every day when I come in. I do a webcast. A male is one that takes from his community, whereas a man gives to it. So if you call yourself a man and you haven't given anything positive to the community that you live in, you're just a male. You have a phallic. If you don't know what that is, you have a penis. If you don't know what that is, you got a dick. That doesn't make you a man. That makes you a male. A man is measured by his character every day of the week, whereas a male is measured by his sex drive. I never had children out of wedlock. I know what it meant to say to the woman that I said that I wanted to be with the rest of my life, that I want you to have my children. That meant something. I was a man, not a male. A man is a protector of women. In general, he is committed to, I like to think, one woman at a time. And in particular, he is responsible in taking care of that woman and the children that that woman has. So if you're doing that, you're a man. If you're a male, and if you view a woman as an object of pleasure, and you are not committed to anything, let alone that woman, even though you made babies with that woman, that doesn't, and you don't even take care of the babies. The state does, the county does. If you want to, the white man does. Then you're just a male, you're not a man. I'm not making accusations. I'm quoting what Kendall Fricken says, and I happen to believe with him and in him thus far, like I did when I brought this retreat. Are you a male or a man? A man's word is his bond, meaning that whatever you say, you're going to carry it through. When you move into somebody's apartment and you say, I'm going to pay you rent on the first of the month or the last of the month, your word is your bond. That's when you're a man. A male has no word. He will tell you what you want to hear or what he thinks you want to hear. See, you can already tell the difference between a male and a man. And it is my premise to say that in this year, 2021, in the African-American community, we don't breed men, we breed males. All right, let's continue to listen. A real man is a leader. A male is always a follower. And most of the people that black men follow in our community today are their mothers and the popo. A man thinks with his big head, whereas a male thinks with his, excuse my French, dick head. See the difference? I think with the brain that's in my skull, not with the brain that swells my phallic up when I feel sexual intensity. I'm just keeping it real for you. And if you have sons, black sons, Hispanic sons, white sons, Asian sons from all four food groups, this is the way that you speak with them. You don't speak any other way. You give it to him. A man uses his intellect and emotions in order to make the right kinds of decisions. A male makes emotional decisions based upon the spur of the moment because he lives a reckless, shipwrecked life and he waits for his life to come to calamity. And then he makes those decisions, and usually they're the wrong ones. So I'm a man because I've always used my intellect, and I have the emotions there, but I keep the emotions under check. I don't let them run away with themselves. Males are born, whereas men are made. Now think about that. When your mama had you, if you're not a female, you were born through a female. The female is a vessel in which carries the fetus of the species. And you as a male were born. But if you want to become a man, you have to be made that. As you can see, there are some distinctions between males and men. Being a man is not easy, especially when you understand a man's roles and responsibilities. Of course, you can get that information from females, but it weighs heavier if you receive that information from a man, if you are a male. The writer of this article says that he was speaking with a brother one day, and he said to me, "Bro, this being a man thing, that's hard." Kendall said, "I knew exactly where he was coming from." See, and let me pause and say this. It may have been hard for you if you're younger than me, but it wasn't hard for me because I had a daddy. And I love my daddy. And I believe that my daddy loved me, so if he told me something, I had no reason to doubt him. The unfortunate thing in the black community today is that many black males are not men because they've never known their daddy, or their daddy abandoned the relationship of their mother for various reasons. Therefore, we see where we are today. Walking in manhood can be overwhelming because we're going through the process of being reshaped, renewed, restored, and completely retrained. Because when you're a baby boy, you're a child. And then when you go through the stage of adolescence, when you grow pubic hair, hair on your chest, your voice gets deeper, well, there's where you need a man to reshape, to renew, to restore, and to completely retrain you, especially if you have been reared by a woman. Because a woman cannot adequately raise a male into a man. She never has been able to. She never will be able to. Ladies, you can get mad at me all you want to. That's why when I went up to the retreat, I only took them in because I didn't want them to put their hands on the hip, the women that is, and let their backbone slip talking about, No, no. You're listening to a man. Are you in agreement thus far with what I'm saying? Because if you're not in agreement, I don't give a damn. I really don't. I don't. Look at our society today. Look at Chicago in the year 2021. Who's out there killing other young black men, killing up people in the black community every day? Most of us has been operating as males with sprinklings of manhood because we see a football player. Oh, look at that brother. Oh, look at him lifting these weights. Oh, sprinkles of man. And just because you got muscles don't make you a man. No, and please don't get it twisted. I'm not talking about your sexuality. You can choose to be with whomever you want. Now, for example, some of us may find a good woman, marry that woman, and provide for her all the financial assistance that she needs. Sometimes emotionally we can fill her heart with all the good stuff and do most of the things that we do with women right. But then after about 9 months to a good year, when she starts tripping, because she is, if you don't keep that check account at a level where she can get her needs met, or because you're hanging out with the fellas, quote unquote, because, hey, listen, I understand that. I hung out with the fellas the other night. Went by a friend of mine's house, and in his backyard, we were, sipping wine and everything. All men, and it was a beautiful place. But that's when we meet the other woman that reverts us into being a male again instead of a man. You see, and if you don't consider that when you get with a woman, when you marry them, you will never be a successful man. You will be a male that fails intuitively with a female. You see, a man has emotions, but a man is not ruled by his emotions. Have you ever got into a disagreement with a male and he gets to arguing back at you, raises his voice and hollers at you? That is because his brain has been thoroughly influenced by a woman. When I'm at a disagreement with a male, I keep my voice in a low pitch of range. I never repeat myself when I make a statement. I say it once, and if you didn't get it, you're incapable of getting it. And I keep you in that category as a male that has been deceived and bullwinkled by a female. All right? So when your wife starts tripping, you shouldn't allow her actions to dictate your reaction. But in many of our associations, as black men and Hispanic and white and Asian men, with our women, because of the society that we live in, they have placed them on a superior level as a man. That's why you see these men apologizing for things that men do. I have to say this. I'm quite happy that Bill Cosby is out of the clink, because all those women that slept with him and that was with him knew exactly what they were doing. And they got their money and their lives, and some circuit judge used his, not his pineal gland, but he used his brain and did the right thing to let that old man out of prison to live the rest of his life. See, a man understands that he is held accountable by God for the way that he treats his wife, regardless of the way that she may be treating him. A real man knows that. A male doesn't know. That's why he flies off the hook and hits her and knocks a tooth out and spends the next 20 years in prison, and she's collecting everything that he ever worked for because he couldn't control his emotions, because that's all he saw his mama do. He never saw his father respond because he didn't have daddy around. All right? Now, how is a man made? Now, you all know me, and I'm not going to play no games with you. I have a Quran in my office. I do. And I read it now and then. But the main religious book that I read, because I'm a colonized African-American male who took the dominant religion of the slave master, Christianity. So I'm going to quote from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. And it says, when I was a child, I used to speak as a child, think like a child, reason like a child. When I became a man, you know what this writer says? I did away with childish things. Now, this is why I'm doing this webcast, because I want you to do away with that behavior that has you qualified as a male but not a man. God created man to have dominion, to be a ruler, to be a master of his environment. He created us in the beginning to be totally dependent upon him. And he taught us directly. You can even study the ancient Africans and the ancient cultures. This was a given in our society. The black man in America has dropped down to the status of a porpoise or a seal, or some kind of an animal. See, God instructed us and he gave us assignments. The assignment that he gave me was to tell my black men and women and everybody else the truth of who God is. That's the assignment that he gave me. That's why at 77 years young, I'm still doing what I was doing when I was called to do it when I was 23. So the making of a man was founded in and through God, not through your mama, but through God. Daddy is important, because if daddy understood this principle, you listen to daddy when he whoop your ass. All right, wait a minute. The only way that this transition into manhood can take place is that we go back to God. And let's keep it real that way. Now, there are certain keys, Kendall says, to becoming a real man. He says there are some things that each of us need to know about God's part in this development, because he says God created man to be a provider and a protector, a cultivator, a visionary, and the leader. So if you call yourself a man, and if you are not providing, protecting, cultivating, or a visionary or a leader in your life, you're not a man. You're a male. You're a homo sapien. But you're not a man. Now let's keep it on the real. We live in a society where women have been placed in leadership over men. That's why during the time of my pastorate, when they start making women pastors of churches, I told them over the radio, I told them from the pulpit. That's why when you look at my YouTube clips, I told them, you're making a terrible mistake. And man, the distance of 30 years, we have been stooped down to the position that we find ourselves in. These qualities are inherent in our very natures. Men are providers. I provided for my family. I protected my children and my wife. I cultivated their education, their lives. I was a visionary. I saw that I had to remodel the house, get Lucy another car, make sure that I drove my daughter's furniture and stuff to the University of Michigan because I wasn't going to have another man do it. I was a visionary and I was a leader, and I still am. Are you? These qualities are inherent in our very natures. We must strive to allow these qualities access in our individual lives. If we don't, we aren't going to make it. Now, what is a provider? You know, you can go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 15 in the Bible. I won't read it. But God put his man, Adam, in a garden, and he gave him, look at this. The first assignment that God gave man was a job, work. He put him in a garden and he said, tend it. That's why if a man is not working and providing for his family, earning the money, he's not a man. He's a male. He has to provide. He has to generate income. Where are we living? We're living in America. And America is based upon that. Now, if we lived in an agricultural or an agrarian society where you make money in different ways, get a job in that. Let me share something with you. Work was given to men to advance the purpose of God. Now, what do I mean by that? What did Kendall mean by that? Kendall meant this. When you get a job and you provide for yourself and you provide for your family and people can see your children advancing in this life, they look at you and they say, now there's a father that really cares for his children. Please don't let that noise disturb you. I have a doorbell that peeks out and sees people because I need to know who's coming in my house when they come in. And it makes that sound. So I apologize if it's disturbing you. Not only was work given to him to advance the purpose of God, but God wanted man to have fulfillment to enable him to provide for his own needs as well as for the needs of others that would eventually have this man being responsible for him. See, once you get that job and get out there, listen, young man, listen to an old man with white hair. I don't want you to get a job because you're lazy. That's one of the things that joblessness does. It makes you lazy. It makes you depend upon others to take care of you, like you're a little bitch. I'm just keeping it real as the day is long. Because if I talk to you the way a pastor spoke with you back then, you didn't hear me. See, so you got that job, and so that you can prove yourself to be a responsible individual, not only in the American culture, but in any culture that you find yourself living in. Because I'm sure that if you move to Athens, Greece, you're not going to be around there walking down the street begging for pennies. You're going to get your ass up and get to work. Now, you notice that before he gave man a woman, what did he give man? Work. Before Adam found Eve, and you can call him whatever name you want. You can go back into the African culture thousands of years before the Bible was written. The same rule applies. Therefore, a man needs work before he needs to take on a wife. Now, you think that one through. Got a lot of men. Oh, brother, marry her. Why? She got a double PhD. What does that mean? She can take care of you. No, lady, listen to me. Don't ever marry a bastard like that. Because you ain't going to do nothing but fail. I have no respect for a man that will not work and take care of his own needs. And I've been working in my home here for years, teaching these same lessons to men every day of my life. Pastor John, the internet pastor, keeping it real. A man is a provider. He finds a way to supply for his family's needs. Even if it gets to the point where they won't give him a job, he's going to take something and feed his baby. You don't want to hear your baby crying because he don't have no food in his stomach. This man plans ahead and anticipates these needs before they arise, especially if you live in an environment like Los Angeles. Man, this is some serious stuff I'm talking here. What's the next thing? Kendall says that he's a protector. What does that mean? When God puts us in the garden to take care of it, and that's interesting because I just watered my garden in the backyard. I pulled all that grass up and everything, and I got plots, and I'm watering and pulling all the weeds out and everything, and we're going to plant that seed. I paid about $300 for various types of seeds of healthy food that I'm going to plant. Why? Because I'm a man. I'm retired from teaching philosophy. I'm retired from preaching in the church, but I got to live. And I'm going to plant the food that I'm going to live off of. Not only does God want us to work in that garden and cultivate it, but he wanted us also to protect it. And all the animals and plants and the women that he put before us, man is supposed to protect that. That's why I tell people this is my home. I'm not trying to be better than somebody else because I have something they don't have, and I have to protect it. That's why I have a firearm here. And in this country, I have a legally owned firearm, and I'm going to protect the property that God gave me. That is my right to do so. And if anybody gets in the way of me owning that and protecting that and providing through it, they will suffer the consequence because they've come in contact with a damn man, not just a male who doesn't know what to do. All right? Now, if you don't see yourself in this area of life right now, then you haven't been equipped the way that God would have you equipped. I'm just going to tell you like this. We are all natural protectors designed by God to protect everything that we are responsible for. And that's another problem with men. They don't see themselves responsible for anything. You know, when I talk, I should have had my throat lozenge out. But I love the fact that God called me to do this, and I love doing this because I believe that, you know, unlike because somebody told me a few days ago, he said, why are you doing that? Ain't nobody listening to you, John. You know why I'm doing this? I'm doing this perchance someone will listen to it. And when they listen to it, it's the right moment because their lives are falling apart. I'm your internet pastor. I'm the kind of preacher you need during this time. I've never hooped and hollered and acted a fool behind the pulpit. I only told people the truth, and that's why they got rid of me. When my head steward tells me that my head deacon was having a sexual relationship with somebody in the church, and they both knew it and didn't tell me, I was outraged. Well, the chief steward that told me that is dead, and the chief deacon that did it is dead. So I can talk about it freely because I'm alive. And I'm still doing what I did when I pastored in that church. So listen to a man. Are you a cultivator? What is a cultivator? To cultivate means to make something better than it was when you first received it. Because if you can do that, oh, that's my neighbor's kid. I don't have no children on my property. That's my neighbor's kid. But somebody's tickling it. But do you cultivate things? Are things that you touch now better than when you first touched it? Every young man that comes through my house, every one of them, God is my witness, every brother that comes through my house that I've helped take care of, that I've given money to, food to, let him stay under my roof as shelter, they are better than when they first came here because I'm a man and that's what I do. Look at your woman, if you marry. How many of us are really cultivating our women? Or can it be said that we need the woman to cultivate us? Have you heard these modern day women? Oh, honey, bring him over here. I show him how to get a job. I remember it was a young man. He lived down the street from me. And I was walking bro man years ago. And they said, hey, are you the man that lives down the street? I said, yes, I am. And both of the young men came down and said, can we come and talk to you? I said, of course you can. At that time, I had my patio room. And we went down in the patio room and we discussed it and everything. And I said, don't you have fathers to teach you? And they went on and one of them said, my father's a Crip. He didn't want to teach me nothing but how to shoot a gun and how to lay down the bloods. And so he said, my auntie raised me. A female cultivated him. When I got through with the men, they didn't want to come down here no more. Because, see, when I cultivate you, I'm not going to cultivate you like a woman would. Now, for you single brothers, you should be cultivating every woman that comes into your circle. Yes, they should leave you a better person after they date you. They shouldn't leave your presence pregnant or emotionally abused after we've run a game on them, but that's what's happening today. That's why you got so many black men in jail today. I have a cousin of mine that spent a couple of years in prison because his woman wouldn't let him see his child, and he bashed the door in that hit her and the child she was holding, went to jail. Man, married men, are you a cultivator? Now, what do I mean by that? We have this picture in our minds that we want our wives to be, and when she doesn't measure up to what we want her to be, we blame her. But the problem is, ask yourself, what have you put into her? What have you invested in her? What kind of deposits have you made into her spirit? Or when your woman thinks about you as a male, because she's not thinking of you as a man, she says, man, all this male did was cause me a headache. I have to tell you now, sometimes I hear conversations that females have with men in my neighborhood, like you hear the babies crying and everything. Well, I hear them. And I don't understand the language because they're talking in a different language. But she is tearing that man up. I'm just keeping it real. Something else. Have you cultivated her to be what you envision or what she envisions for herself? Because remember, if she has her own life, she has a right to be who she wants to be. I'm talking to you married men. Do you know what her goals and her dreams are? And do you perfect those goals and dreams coming to fruit as you stay with this woman that you married? How are you helping her achieve these goals and these dreams? See, this is if you want to get you a woman. A woman is like a seed, and we are water and light for her. Some of the men starve their women out. If we pour into her and shine our light on her, she will blossom into a beautiful, compassionate, nurturing, submissive helpmate. That's what I was taught when I studied my Bible years ago. Then you can look at her proudly and say, look at what I've cultivated. But you know what, men? You can't say that. The only thing that a lot of us can say, look at what I've done. I've destroyed this female, and she hates all men. Now, let's look at the next point that Kendall talks about. He talks about visionary. What is visionary? Well, a vision. I have vision. No, I think that what we need to do is we need to look up a biblical definition. Go to Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18. It says, where there is no vision, the people are under strain. But happy is he who keeps the law. In other words, where there is no vision, a community perishes. To have vision means to conceive something in your mind and then move towards bringing that vision into reality. Males don't do that. Only men do that. Males don't do that. Males think with their phallic. Oh, I'm going to beat her down. Have you ever seen the pictures of a male being with a female? I never could understand it. I never had a proclivity to be with a lot of females anyhow. But the males that I see, the picture that you see is always of this man beating this woman sexually down. Ugh. Every man should have a vision for his life. If he's married, he should have a vision for his family. See, this comes with the territory. The vision should include, but not limit to, faith, family, and finances. Because if he doesn't have faith in anything, his family is going to fade away, and of course, he won't have any finances. So that vision includes a vision of faith. I have faith to believe that me and my family can reach these goals and objectives. I recall the day that I moved in this house. I had a friend of mine, Louis Finister Sr., helped me move in. We rented a big U-Haul truck and brought all of my furniture and clothes and everything from the apartment on Santa Rosalia and Hillcrest in Los Angeles on his little wood frame house on Harcourt. And I remember the day I moved in, I told my wife, we're going to move in here and we're going to die in here. I'm still here and she already fulfilled her portion. See, we should have short-term and long-term goals, and they should be attainable. Mine was because I'm still in my house. See what I mean? I would never make a statement, and then that statement didn't turn out to be true. I never had higher ambitions than I should. As a visionary, most of us don't have a vision for our family, and we wonder why our wives and children won't submit to us. You ain't got no vision. You can't fulfill it. My wife asked me, what are we going to do? I said, we're going to die in this house because I'm not buying another one. We don't need it. It's enough to shelter us, keep us warm, have us cook in it. We don't need no swimming pool. We can go and go to the park and go swimming if we want to go swimming. Not spending all this money to impress anybody. That was my vision. Brothers, look at the word submission. The prefix is sub, S-U-B. It means under. And mission simply means a goal or a vision. In other words, are you operating under a vision or a goal or an objective? So in submitting, the wife comes under our line up, our lines up, that is, under her husband's leadership. If the wife has a real man and he is a visionary, she lines up under that. She submits to that because she said, this man ain't never lied. This man has provided for me. I told Lucy, I said, you were raised in a Nipa hut in the Philippines, in one of the provinces of Romblon. And under my leadership, you're going to have your own house, and it won't be a nipper hut. That's just the way it is. All right? Well, brothers, she won't submit to you if you don't have a vision for her to submit under. And that's the point, because if a man does not have a vision for his woman to submit under, why should she want to be with him? Wait, my front window is open, so let me just say, I'm doing a webcast right now, and I'm not going to get up and come to the front door because I expect no company. So come back later. I was talking to the people outside on my porch. See, if she won't submit, you don't have a vision for her to submit under, and most males don't. A man does. Also, Kendall says that a man should be a leader. I personally believe, as Kendall does, that every man that is created by God, he's created by God to lead, and a man should display leadership characteristics. You don't see that in this society today. When you see men, we're always following after. You know, when a man does something and a woman says, you need to apologize to me. If a woman says that, I don't have to apologize to you because I said to you what I meant to say. Why should I apologize? All right, let's say that I asked my woman to make me some toast and coffee, and the coffee tastes like tea, and the toast wasn't even brown. I'm going to chide her for that. See what I mean? Some men run away from the responsibility of leadership. You know why? Because they were never trained by a male leader. They were never trained by the father. They never took that time to set under the leadership of a father. They are selfish and only concerned about their own needs and not the needs of others. If you're like that, you are not a leader. I have never been concerned about my own needs. I had wants and desires. I have them today. But I'm more concerned about the wants and desires of others. Why? Because I am a fulfilled man. I have fulfilled all of my mission but dying. I have one more major thing to do, and that's to drop dead. I know that doesn't sound like what you want to hear, but what is it that this leader is in reality? You want to know? You want to take a look at some leadership characteristics that I'm going to mention. A leader is a servant. He serves other people, okay? A leader is disciplined. In other words, he don't fall into sex traps, money traps, argumentative displays of ignorance. Okay, a leader is the first one up in the morning and the last one to go to bed at night in his own house. Don't ever let your woman beat you up in the morning, getting up, and don't ever let your woman be left up at night trying to cook, put air in the tire of the car, and making sure that she can make it tomorrow. That never happened in this house. A leader sets the tone. I need you real men that listen to me to listen, because you will not hear this kind of admonition from preachers behind the pulpit today. They are there for money, pimpology, sex, and whatever else, stupidity that they are. A leader has integrity. That's why when you go to my Facebook page and you see that Filipino man, 26 years old, making that acclaimed statement about me. I'm a person of integrity. Man, these people call themselves a leadership today. You put on a fancy suit and got a nice, shiny little car, and you think you're not a leader. You're a pimp. A leader has character. The leader's word is his bond. The leader is always a role model. He provides, he protects, he cultivates, and he has vision. That's a leader. A leader leads by example. Now listen, you males, if you don't do any of those things that I just said, you're not a leader. You're a follower. And nobody's going to listen to you nor pay attention to you in a civilized society. That's why you have in these other countries these governments mounting up people, killing and killing the civilians, civilians taking everything they have, running from pillar to post because they don't have adequate leadership, or the leadership raped the country. Now, I want to share a little bit more with you. And as I do this, we're talking about the 10 qualities of a man, because that's what Kendall was talking about here. And when I first studied this concept, I found this part of the concept of manhood interesting in that many of the illustrations that Kendall uses here in my life were the same as his. In other words, Kendall is an African-American man, Kendall Ficklin, F-I-C-K-L-I-N. You can look up his name on the internet, and you can get the text and read it yourself. I put the text in a PowerPoint presentation and related it to all the men in the church that I pastored. And I got to tell you, I was successful in teaching it. Very few men were successful in living it. Growing up in a family where my father did not take the adequate time with my maturation process, I'm talking about me. I can see where I was lacking even in my marriage. I had a friend of mine share with me that my marriage to Lucy would have been far better if I had taken on more of an ultra masculine role in leading in the relationship. But I had never been with just one woman. So I, in my innocence, I like to call it, was with this woman only as I could be. Now I'm asking this since I'm truthful in my analysis of me and who I am and what I'm doing. Are you willing to investigate these particular 10 qualities, okay, in your own life? That's what I'm asking of you. Let me see who this is contacting me. Oh, no. All right. Very important question. And I'm sure that this list is not an exhaustive one, but it's one that can bring you up to a particular point. And I want you, if you're men, or you call yourself a man, I want you to listen to this and see how you find yourself weighed in the balances. Recent studies show that there are many homes in which men are not present. Now, this book was written years and years ago. I don't know the stats in the black community, but I would say up to 91 or 92% of the African-American home doesn't have a black male as the leader of that home. So we're in bad shape there. At one time, these statistics mainly pertained to minorities. However, today, they transcend race and socioeconomic lines. Oh, yes, everything has changed, my friend. Millions of children are growing up fatherless without a model of manhood in their own home. And as a result, boys grow to be men physically, but not mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. That's where PJ, that's where I come in. Becoming a true man is not a natural occurrence in today's society in America, and it happens over time as one is taught. So, I too am a product in certain ways of these statistics. I love my father. However, he was only present in our home until I was 12 years old. And very rarely did we sit down and have conclusive conversations that would lead me to advance in manhood. So my father never taught me how to honor and respect women. No, he didn't. I never knew how to honor and respect them. I learned that when I got into the church and started reading the Bible. And it told the men how to treat their wives. I learned from that. But my daddy didn't teach me that. I remember when I was 11 years old, my mother was telling my daddy to cut me and my brother Ross's hair. Daddy had a pair of hand clippers, if you know what those were. And we were the first African Americans on the block. I never forget it because my daddy and mama got to fighting over a haircut because my hair was nappy and it was long and daddy wouldn't take care of it. It was a Saturday and daddy wanted to go looking for another car or something. My mother picked up a skillet and hit him with it. See, I'm telling the truth. I never was taught respect a woman. He never taught me how to manage money. I had to teach myself that. He was unable to teach me about God. How could he teach me about a God that he never knew? That's my daddy. I'm telling the truth. I entered into a marriage at a young age without ever seeing a truly proper relationship between a husband and wife because I remember the frying pan hit. I didn't know that something was as simple as a family eating together or having a conversation would be the norm and not the exception. But when I got married, we bought a little house that had a kitchen and a kitchen table, and that kitchen table is still there. Not the original table, but the space is still used to eat and fellowship and to communicate. Now, I don't blame my father. If any of this sounds personally familiar, I don't want you to blame yours either. Chances are, like my father, your father really didn't know any better either. Especially if your father was raised by his mama, your grandma, and there was no man in the house there. That makes you double dyed deficit. Now, I'm going to talk about the qualities of a man. The qualities of a man. And this is interesting because if you read from the Old Testament, Haggai chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. Before I did the study, I looked up the scripture, but I don't want to bug you with a bunch of Bible. I don't because I'm not that kind of person. I don't like shoving the Bible down your throat, but I'll read verses 6 and 7. You have sown much and harvested little. You eat, but there's not enough to be satisfied. You drink, but there's not enough to become drunk. You put on clothing, but no one is warm enough. And he who earns wages to put into a purse with holes. Thus said the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Now, in a sense, God is saying that the qualities of a man, first of all, he's a priest, leads his family and community spiritually. In other words, here, the prophet Haggai is lamenting the fact that Israel was doing all that work and everything, but it didn't bring to nothing because you don't see yourself as a man working towards the benefit of others. He prays with and for his family daily, because he knows that the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man avails much. Young males don't know that today. Matter of fact, if a young male has never seen, heard, or have been around a real man praying, he has no idea. And please don't look at a TV preacher, because that's not praying. They're trying to ward up some money. See, a real man takes his family into spiritual heights, not simply to present it on Sunday, but he's actively involved every day spiritually with his family. Not only is a man a priest, but he's a king, in that he provides financial, emotional, and physical stability for whom he is responsible for. See, I was a king of my house. Even though my wife worked, it was my money that paid for the house. I told Lucy, you can work, but you don't. I never took a penny of her money to pay a house note. I paid for this house. We didn't blend our money in and so we can have something. No, that didn't happen like that. I believe that this is as natural as breathing for a real man. I see men today making excuses that they would not take over in every area of this man's illustrations. They make excuse, well, hell, if she make more money than me, let her pay for it. Right. Only a male would neglect these duties. I'm telling you the truth. A man is a warrior or a soldier. Now, in that, what I mean by that is a man is a protector. His spirit is assertive and aggressive. You never respect a man that spirit is, well, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do. He going to do what he do, and I got, nah, you're not a warrior. No. A man is willing to live and to die for what he believes in. He's not switching like the weather. He's not compromising because people tell him to apologize. If I had an affair on my wife and got caught, and if I were in a high position working in the government or something like that, and the press came and said, John, did you have an affair with this person? I said, of course I did. Why did you do that, John? I said, that's simple. I wanted to. Well, do you think that is indicative of a man of your character? Yes. Why did you say that, John? Because I was cut off by my wife. And I was sexually starved and I couldn't control that. I need that to live. I'm not going to apologize for doing that. Why doesn't she apologize to me for cutting me off when it was her role to submit to my sexual needs? See what I mean? You see the difference? Then saying, I'm sorry. You're not sorry. You're lying. Because as a man, you're willing to live and to die for what you believe in. Here again, I would say that if you are not at this place, that you are lacking in the true definition of what is implied by your birth as a male and your maturation into manhood. The character of a man. He does not compromise his beliefs. I didn't compromise mine when I told you why I did what I did. We are to assume that all of his beliefs are the right kind of beliefs under God. His views from his world, from that frame of reference, is that God is in control of his life. And that's why he answers the way he does. It is as if God is watching every event of this man's human experience and manages every action and every thought of this man, and this man is carrying. And I will never apologize about what I intended to do. That's all you see in this society. Men today doing that, they're not men, they're males. And the female, and all those females that use Bill Cosby's thing to get his money and to get all that. And Bill is out and free today. And I thank Jah for that. Hey. He is a man that is unquestioned by those that know him, because their consciences knows him. You know what? Of all the things that I was accused of while I was a pastor in the church, and some people even accused me of sexual impropriety, I'm unquestioned because they couldn't find any facts to back it up. Any. And in their conscience, they knew that I was innocent. I remember a bunch of juggernauts got together and put together a 40-page document against me, trying to tell all these other churchmen what I did. And they asked me, they said, John, aren't you going to respond to that? I said, hell no. Why should I respond to a bunch of males that were envious of my spiritual position in people's lives? I've always had more men in the church than women. And not because I was sleeping with the men, like most of these pastors are doing, sleeping with the women. Let me keep moving. Let me keep moving here. Disciplined. If you're a man, you are disciplined. In other words, he controls himself. How many men have I counseled over the years? Oh, man, when she walked by, I just can't. Oh, man, please. He understands that success only comes with discipline, and there is no room for excuses. I used to tell the people in the church I pastored that results count, excuses don't. Most men in leadership positions now are undisciplined. Heck, he has enough self-control to stop when his lust gets out of hand, to stop drinking. Don't drink more than that one glass of wine. Don't smoke that sativa or indica if it messes with your head and your body, that it messes you up. I smoke sativa. It helps me. It helps my mind expand more. I don't lie because I have no fear of anyone, so why am I lying? And fornicating? Who am I fornicating with? Look, let's get this on the table right now. If whomever I'm with, they are an adult, and that's none of your damn business. And who you with is none of mine. And if the adult is adult enough to do that and got a brain to do it, that's between you and that adult and God, nobody else. Let's move on. Whatever brings disgrace to you and to your family, and to your character, this man is disciplined, and he has control over those things. If you don't have control over those things, you are not a man, you're a male. You get it? You get it? Also, as a man, I'm accountable. I allow myself to be challenged and held to a higher standard than anyone would dictate to me. I'm not held by your standards. I'm held by a higher standard than that. God is my creator. I've never killed anybody in my life, and I don't want to kill no man. No man can be strong if he's not accountable to someone else. That's why if I kill a man, I expect somebody to come in with handcuffs, bulletproof vests, and everything else to drag my ass out this house and try me for what I did. And in every case, he's going to find me innocent. Do not refuse instruction and always seek wise and godly counsel. That's why all these Black Lives Matter and you going down the street tearing up people's property, you let it be the wrong man's property that you tear up and he's standing in front of his property. Put a cap in your, well, you know what. A man without accountability is a dangerous man. And during the Black Lives Matter movement, going around and tearing up all these people's property and destroying their business, everything that they work for, their whole life. Yeah, right. Now, I want to share three verses because we're talking about accountability, right? And we don't want to be accountable to anybody. And a lot of people asked me when I was pastoring, well, don't you believe in a plurality of elders? Yes. If they believe what I believe, but if they believe something different than I believe about God, I'm not going to plurality of elders with them. But Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12 tells me this. Two are better than one because they have a good return on their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Now that's wisdom from the book of books. And I'm sure that ancient African books, I can find the same kind of things in any ancient text. It just takes a man to think through things. I believe in a plurality of men loving each other, working with each other, depending upon each other. But I've got to tell you, my years in the church working with a plurality of men only brought disaster. Jealousy, hatred, envy, and division rose up. Not on my behalf, because I never was small in the brain like that. But I'll caution you. If you have big ideas and a big vision, don't put people with small brains on your team, because they will pull you down, my brother. They will pull you down. Are you committed? Will you do whatever it takes to achieve goals within the guidelines of God's righteousness? Come on, you got to answer that. Sleepless nights are a small price to pay, because you understand that you can't get to sleep because you're working on some stuff. Such men are always thinking about their lives with the intent of making it far better than it was yesterday. That's a man that's on the move. That's a man that's moving up. Not only are you going to be successful as a man, but a man is a servant. Jesus was a servant, so never believe that serving others' needs before your own is beneath you. I speak with a young man now, and I ask him, I said, why don't you come over here and help me pull these weeds out of my garden? How much you going to pay me? I said, I'm not going to pay you anything. Many a day you've eaten food from my table at my house. Why don't you come and help me weed my garden? I ain't no slave. It ain't doing me no good. See what I mean? That's the way males are today. I believe that it is a tremendous privilege to serve other men, to assist other men with the intention of helping him to be successful, only betters the social system that I'm living within, that we're all living within. We're working together. That makes my visionary thing work. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. So, this man is living today, but also sees tomorrow. He is planning and he's preparing for the future. On my webcast yesterday, I said that if there's a person out there that can help me put this website together better and to do this, let me know, because I need that kind of help in that area. That's very important. So, this man has conceived something in his mind and is now moving towards bringing that thing into existence. That's what a visionary is. A visionary isn't one that sees the money in your wallet and figures out a way to get it out of your wallet and to put it in his. That's not a visionary. That's a carnal thief. And so when a pastor talks visionary bullcrap to you and he's taking your wealth and making it his, he's not a visionary. He's a thief. Okay? Let me say it again. The visionary is a man that sees tomorrow and is planning and preparing for the future. Now, let me give you an illustration of how I did that. Church started to treat me bad. And I said, you know what? I can't wait for my pastor to come to an end and end up with nothing. I recently, a couple of weeks ago, had my entire house painted. I paid for it cash, thousands of dollars. Now, how did I plan in the future to paint a house when I have no job and no income coming in but a stipend from Social Security? How did I do that? I planned and I prepared for the future. While I was still capable and still pastoring a church, I began to teach philosophy in a system that gave me a retirement. Because when I worked for the city, I didn't have retirement. My wife had Social Security, and I'm living off of that because I was married to her 35 years, never cursed her out, never hit her, never had to sleep on the couch, nor her to sleep on the couch, because I learned how to live with a woman properly and how to conduct myself. See what I did? I planned and prepared for the future. I retired from the college, got my money, got my house painted. I'm staying in the house because if I can't keep the house up, they're going to put me out of it. You see what I mean? That's what a man does. I've conceived something in my mind, and I move towards bringing that thing into existence. That's what a visionary is. It's not all this hocus-pocus rigmarole, I got to say it, bullshit that these people are using on you when they got you in a church building. A true man is a leader. In other words, he is the point man. I'm the point man. I didn't have no team around me. I didn't need no team around me. I led by example and I set the tone. That's why I tell a young man, you need a job. You're young enough to get one, because when you work on it and put into an account of savings, when you get older and you can't work anymore, because I can't work. I only have maybe about 5 hours of good energy in me, and the rest of it is trying to catch up on that 5 hours again because my body is worn out. That's why I live in a system that provides a means for me to be a point man and to set the tone. If I'm a leader, I'm a man that understands as he goes, so the family goes. I either produce success or I gender hinder in the relationship that I'm in. I understand as I go what the hell I'm doing. Do you? Now, if these qualities seem unattainable, remember, these qualities will not happen overnight. You have to maturate into this. It takes time for you to get here, brothers. It takes years. And all this hocus pocus rigmarole, I can just listen to Jay-Z sing or Beyonce look at her thighs as she dance and, oh, I'm thinking golden. Are you? You keep thinking that. I'm in this battle with you, brothers. And I have to be willing to change as God will order my steps. As I attend to the things that I've been talking with you about on this webcast that I'm giving you. Now, I want to share something with you. I've already spoken an hour and some 19 minutes, and I can give you more things, and I could talk about these other things and share them, but I'm about 19 minutes over the hour, so I'm going to stop right here. But next time I come back on the next webcast, I have to share this with you. Every man has a story to tell. And the difficulty that many men have is how they define their God-given purpose. They don't know what God has called them to do. I've always known since I was a young man at 23. At 23, I knew what God had in mind for me. And what I'd like to share with you is some very important information the next time we gather here on my site, because I got a lot to share with you, and I want you to know that you are very important to me. I'm concerned about you surviving. Please share this 1 hour and 21 minute webcast. I know it's long, but you need to sit down. You need to turn off the football, basketball. You need to turn these stupid ass talk shows off, especially you males that are listening to women that just show you how to laugh and keep your head, and especially you males that are drowning your brains in marijuana and you can't hardly think right because the weed got you thinking stupid. You need to listen to this webcast. And if you don't, and I know you don't, because I'm going to ask you, did you listen to the July 1st, 2021 cast on my website? Well, no, I didn't. But get the hell out of my face. I don't have nothing to say to you, man. Because, see, you're going to continue in this being mesmerized by jackass foolishness and listening to jackass foolish people. I'm your internet pastor, Pastor John Edwin Coleman, right here on my own website. I pay for it. Every month I pay to keep myself on the air so you can be blessed. God bless you. Thanks for coming to my website, and be sure to listen to the next cast tomorrow and the day after that. Bye-bye.